Just a few days ago, there were 10,000 young Catholics from across England and Wales who gathered in Wembley in the arena for Flame 17. It was an opportunity for them to pray, to learn, and to celebrate their faith. And while in their company, I remembered the stirring appeal of Pope Francis to young people. If you want to be people of hope,
then go home
and talk to your grandparents. And then he added, ask them questions, because they have the memory of history, the experience of living. And this is a great gift for you that will help you in life's journey. So today, as we celebrate the centenary of the Diocese of Brentwood, we look to our grandparents in faith. We look to all those who have done so much in nurturing the faith of Catholics and in establishing this diocese in East London and in Essex. I think one family name is written large in that history. It's the Peter family, and it's an opportunity to thank that family for all the nurture of Catholic faith over many centuries here. I don't count myself among the grandparents in faith, though the links between the Diocese of Westminster and Brentwood could, in a way, be cast in that mould. But I do treasure personal links with this diocese, not least the episcopal ordination of Bishop Allen, which was such a memorable occasion. But I also think of this link, that the first titular cathedral I was given was the Chapel of St. Sed at Bradwell-on-Sea, a place much treasured by this diocese, and from where St. Sed first brought the gospel to these parts. And then I think, much more importantly, of your first bishop, Bishop Bernard Ward. And I think of his fondness for railways. Do you know, it was from that love of the rail network that your cathedral is here in Brentwood, and that Brentwood is the very name of your diocese. So I smiled when I received a letter from Bishop Allen in preparation for coming to this Mass, which told me which train to catch. Every one of Bishop Ward's successors has had their particular qualities. It fell to Bishop Beck and his successor, Bishop Wall, to rebuild schools and churches after the war. Bishop Casey, we remember for his immense fatherly kindness, while Bishop Thomas McMahon brought so many gifts to the diocese, not least the building of this cathedral in which we celebrate Mass this evening. These are just a very few of the memories that provide the context for our celebration this evening. They must not be left in the history books. Indeed, as Pope Francis reminds us, they can and must help us in our responsibility for the continued flourishing of the Catholic faith in this part of the world. So isn't it lovely then that the readings chosen for this Mass have a clear emphasis on the future? The first reading from the prophet Ezekiel looks to what the Lord will do. I am going to look after my flock. I shall look out for the lost one, bring back the stray, bandage the wounded, and make the weak strong. That's our job, to cooperate in that work, lending our hearts and our hands to its achievement, knowing that it is always the work of the Holy Spirit. Indeed, we heard the great commission given by Christ to the gospel, to the apostles in the gospel. Go and make disciples of all nations. And this is only possible because he also makes this promise: know that I am with you always, yes, to the end of time. This gospel command gives the basis for one of the great themes of Pope Francis, that we are always to think of ourselves and to live as missionary disciples. The second reading gives us clues about how we are to go out and to do it. St. Paul reminds us that not everyone is the best of teachers, not everyone has an attractive personality, not everyone is good with the sick, but each of us does have a particular giftedness that is not granted to another. Discerning what that might be and how best to put it to the service of the church is essential for our health. We are, thank God, rich in our diversity in so many ways. But if we are to truly flourish, that diversity must always be placed at the service of the fundamental unity of the church and of our mission. That diversity should never remain a cause of separateness within our church family. In all our efforts to further that mission, faith finds a most eloquent expression when it's grounded in the real circumstances of people's lives. Pope Francis recently reminded us of this too, when he said these words: "You learn to do good with concrete actions, not with words, with deeds. For this reason, Jesus rebukes the ruling class of the people of Israel because they talk and don't act." And then he added, Pope Francis, that without this concrete action, there is no true conversion of life within us. So action is the test of our faith. Again, our efforts for the future can take inspiration from the memory of the past of our grandparents. Think of their extraordinary efforts at renewal in the face of the devastating bombing of the Second World War. They're tangible pieces of evidence of the concreteness of faith, concrete even sometimes literally. And there are so many others, perhaps now faded into history, but still part of the fabric of this diocesan family. We can think of the goodness of so many priests who went the extra mile to support their parishioners in times of sadness or tragedy. In the sight of God and in many memories, this is never forgotten. I think of the ministry of so many religious women, actually including my own Auntie Peg, Sister Thomas Moore of the Chigwell Sisters, who played such a role in education and in service of the poor. This is never forgotten. The practice of faith and charity sustained by faithful Catholics in the face of daily challenges of many sorts, this too is never forgotten. And we must heed with the utmost seriousness this call to the practical witness of faith if we are to succeed in our efforts at spreading the good news for the next 100 years too. Now, in saying this, I do not mean that prayer and attentiveness to the Word of God are somehow an optional extra. Practicality and prayer are the two sides of the same coin. If one spreads faith, the other nurtures faith within us. Together, they help us to see our responsibilities within its wider context, indeed a context that is so vast as to be eternal. At the start of the Mass, we sang, "Praise to the holiest in the height, and in the depth be praise, in all his words most wonderful, most sure in all his ways." As we seek to hold together the faith we profess in word and the faith we profess in action, we're striving to mirror something of the surety and the wonder of Christ himself, always to the praise of our Heavenly Father. The praise of God, then, for which we are gathered here today in the present, is rooted in our thankfulness for the past and in our hope for the future. In 100 years, an entirely new group of people will, please God, be gathered here for the bicentenary of the Diocese of Brentwood. Today we pray that we, your children and grandchildren in faith, may be worthy successors of those whose memory we celebrate and on whose witness we undertake to build. May God richly bless this Diocese of Brentwood, both now and in the years to come.